Amen. You feel loved?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, this morning we like to fight for time, and so we end the the table a little earlier. The plan is this: this meeting will go till that clock is wrong, till 10:30. And then from 10:30 to 10:45 or so, we'll have a break. And then from 10:45 until 12, an hour and 15 minutes, we'll have our second session. And then we conclude the retreat. Now, this morning in this first session, I still like to do a bit of a wrap-up, if you will, of the present burden. I will somewhat sacrifice the last two lessons of your packet, the last two outlines of your packet. Although I will say something about it, especially about lesson number three, towards the end of this session. I still like to say something more concerning your time with the Lord. Last night, I propose that we ditch, at least for now, this thing called doing the morning revival. And I mean that, and I suggest that. Now, I don't mean you should go around and tell the whole recovery. Northern California has given up on the morning revival. That would be a very, very grossly inaccurate and also unfair report. So please don't do that. Those kind of things always cause trouble. Actually, it will cause me the most trouble. And I don't need that kind of trouble. All right? So don't say that. That's not what we mean. We care for morning revival. We need to be revived every morning. But you get the point. The point is that this term and what comes with this term has unfortunately become old, become almost a something religious, something that is a kind of a not a living practice among us. And so and a lot of times words means a lot, you know, what you the terms, the words you use to ascribe to something would do a lot. So I do mean that let's among us put aside this kind of saying of doing a morning revival for some time. If it get revived later on, that's another matter. But for now, and instead of this, let's talk to each other in our church lingo, in our the church talk. Just a time with the Lord. You know, that's a very famous little booklet from back in the 60s. Very simple booklet with a very straightforward name. A time with the Lord. Or, to use this weekend, how about we say, FaceTime with the Lord.
Amen.
We'll say, brother, not, did you do your morning revival? No. Brother, how was your FaceTime this morning?
Amen.
You see, the feeling is different.
Amen.
So let's have a new way of talking, even in our church fellowship. All right? Will you do this?
Yes.
No one will do morning revival, okay? But everyone will have FaceTime with Jesus.
Amen.
Now, and we are definitely not giving up the Holy Word for Morning Revival booklet either. But I do suggest the way we use it can be changed. And I would suggest that we will not, for that FaceTime in the morning, you will not have the book in your hands. Rather, when you get your book, you cut up the little cards in the back right away, okay, every one of us. You color code it. I don't care what you do, week one, week two, week three, week four, so on. You can put a rubber band around it, put it in your a little box by your nightstand, whatever. So every morning for that day, you just pick up that verse or verses, whatever, for that day. Okay? That's all you have. All right? There's no... you're doing the high wire act with no net. Okay? So you just use that little card. Then there would be nothing. There's no words, no ministry, no nothing. You are forced to learn how to spend time with the Lord in His presence to pray with His Word. I hope after some months of practice, your time with the Lord will improve. All right? And you'll be genuinely revived without using that word revival. So, and improvement means that your time with the Lord will be greatly deepened. It will be emotion rather than motion. You follow me? That you have a daily living touch with the Lord in your spirit. And you would have really, really eaten the face bread, the bread of the presence. And by doing this, you come to know Him. You come to live a life of oneness with Him because of such a secret hour that only you and the Lord know about. You know, it says to the overcomers, to one of the churches, they will be given a new name. Am I right? In fact, that no one knows except the one who receives it. This means even your wife does not, the husbands, even your wife does not know this deepest level of relationship you have with the Lord. And I wish the wife won't be jealous. Similarly, the husband would not know that secret relationship the wife would have with the Lord. And the husband should not be jealous. When my wife have such a relationship with the Lord, which she does, I don't get jealous. I get encouraged. I get supplied. And similarly, in my case, there are things that I never tell her. And there are things she never tells me about our personal time with the Lord, as between the lover and the beloved in Song of Songs. So, dear brothers and sisters, you must enter into that realm. I'm not here to make you all super spiritual, this kind of inner life, spiritual people, you know, like angels. I'm not doing that. You don't need to worry about it. I know what I'm doing here. There is a lack that I perceive. There is a shortage I perceive in the Lord's recovery, especially with the working saints. In this matter of this relationship, of this, the level of depth is not where it should be. Now, on this note, I'd like to say something. And this morning in my time, our time of some prayer with some brothers before we came here, and a brother prayed this way. Actually, it was in my heart already, but he prayed it. You see, the Israel people in the wilderness, right? And they built the tabernacle and formed the priesthood under the hand of Moses as directed by the Lord, by Jehovah. you know, by his instructions and pattern from the mountain. And before that, after they came out of Egypt and got into the wilderness, they were without the tabernacle. But soon after they went to the mountain of God, they erected that tabernacle. And they continue in the wilderness for decades before they enter into the good land. And in the wilderness, there's not much there, so they need to be fed, they need to eat, they need to be nourished. So the Lord would provide for them over a 40-year period some special food, a diet, special diet, to sustain them in that very, very dry place. So even that eating, their kind of eating, would indicate to us there is a progress. I would call it a progressive eating. A progressive eating. Now, the bigger picture of this progressive eating of three stages are as follows. Number one, their first eating is the eating of the Lamb. You know, the Lamb of God. When they exited, or that was the Exodus from Egypt that night, you all know that night. And I'm not going to get into all the things of the redeeming lamb and all that. I assume you know that. But anyway, their first eating was the eating of the lamb. That gave them the strength. Not only the blood was there for their redemption and salvation, but the meat of the lamb became the strength for them to leave Egypt. Right? So the first eating of a Christian is the eating of Christ as the Lamb. Then after they got into the wilderness, there's the second, progressively, the second kind of eating. And that is the eating for 40 years. And that is the living manna. The manna, the food that came from the heavens. They start to eat not from an earthly source, but from a heavenly one. And that is not anything grown on the earth. That is a direct supply from God. They are people of God, and they would eat a heavenly food to become God's heavenly people. So their second eating is the eating of manna. Of manna. And there's too many wonderful things related to this manna. And this is why you need to read the life studies. Am I right? It is round. It is, like frost. It is like a pearl. It is, on and on. That's too many wonderful things. Okay, this is the second stage of eating. There's a third stage of eating. This is not the end. The third stage of eating is when they enter into the good land. Am I right? So there the manna ceases the day they enter. And in its replacement, they are to labor on that good land. The land of milk and honey. Of figs, of pomegranates. Am I right? Of water, of brooks and springs, a beautiful good land. You know, today you go to Palestine, it doesn't look like that. It's almost like a cursed land. There may be parts, but certainly it was not like it was described then. Anyway, there they enter into the third stage of the eating of God's people. And that is they have to labor on the good land and to have the produce, whether it is in cattle and flocks, or it is vegetables and plants and fruits, etc., etc. And they're to eat off the land. Now we know that all these three, and this is the ultimate stage of eating. which is the final stage of eating, and that eating will produce a kingdom in that land with the house of God, the temple of God, and so on. So this progressive eating is very, very meaningful in terms of God's economy, even in terms of what God wants to gain among his people for his testimony, for his expression on the earth. Now, we know that all these three stages of eating, I mean the foodstuff in all these three stages, all refers to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The Lamb of God is Christ.
Amen.
The manna, the bread from heaven, is Christ.
Amen.
And the good land is the all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
It's the same Christ. It's the same Christ. But it's in three stages. There is a progression. You are supposed to progress. Our eating should not be the same. If 5 years after you're saved, you're still eating the lamb merely, not that we don't need the lamb, but you're just eating the lamb, that means you have not progressed. You have not gone on. You have not journeyed on with God towards his heart's desire. Or if you just, after year, you're just eating that manna. You know, manna is great because you don't need to do a thing except to climb out of bed and just go grab it, right? You have to do it every day because if you don't eat it, it will have worms coming out of it. That's why we need daily time. You cannot say, I accumulated a week's time. You know, like accumulate holidays at your work, you know. You don't accumulate morning times with the Lord. Worms will come out, okay? We need fresh daily time in the Lord's presence. Every day. Every day. Okay, anyway, if you just... it is good that you're eating manna, but if you're just eating manna, that means you are still in the wilderness. You're still in a wilderness existence in your Christian life. It is not bad compared to Egypt, but it's certainly not, you have not arrived. God's purpose is that we would leave even the wilderness. We will exit the wilderness and enter into Canaan, the good land. The land of Emmanuel. Am I right? To enter into that land that God has promised to their forefathers in the case of Israel. And in us, with us, this is God's allotted portion, according to Colossians 1. And that is this all-inclusive and all-extensive Christ. And we are now to labor on this Christ. This is not freebie anymore. Our being brought into it is a great thing. But now in Christ, we labor day and night.
Amen.
Walk in him. Be rooted in him. Labor on him. And out of that labor comes our own food. And that food we bring to worship God with.
Amen.
And with that food, we even celebrate with one another in his presence. And those are the feasts in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel came together in Jerusalem. That's the final eating, the eating there. And so what I want to talk about this morning is not even just that eating. These three stages. In our prayer this morning, there's another three little stages of eating. All right? Like this. Number one, stage one, eating the manna. The manna that I just talked about. Now becomes stage one eating. All right? You know what is stage to eating? Stage to eating is you have to enter into the holy place to eat the bread of his presence. Before that, you're in the outer court, so you just eat the manna. You just eat the manna, just again, free food. Free food. You don't need to do much. But now you need to advance in your eating, brothers and sisters. Working saints, you cannot just eat manna. You need to go forward and leave the outer court and come into the holy place to eat the bread. Because it is bread, it means you have to make it. You have to work on it. You have to have some labor. You have to have some cooperation with God to make that bread. Last Labor Day recently, I was on the priesthood. Am I right? And the first one is on the diet of the priest. Remember that? And I talk about they eat this showbread, not showbread, that's the King James, this face bread or this bread of the presence. And they are supposed to line them up, you know, they're all together 12 pieces, 12 loaves, six in a row, and you are to put frankincense on it like the syrup on your pancake this morning, frankincense on it. And they are also, and you know what, that bread, according to Exodus, is the top offering to God, even topping all the offerings out in the outer court, that bread. And that bread would be also consumed by the priests themselves, that face bread. It's called face bread or bread of the presence because it is close to the holiest of all, where God's presence dwells. And you eat this bread in his presence. You eat this bread looking at his face. So this is the second stage of eating in the holy place. But there's a third stage of eating, and that is the eating of the hidden manna. That hidden manna is now not in the holy place, but in the holy of holies. You see, that's where the Lord is. That's where the mercy seat is. That's where the ark of the testimony is. And this hidden manna is not even just on top of the ark. It is within the ark in a golden pot. That means it's very secret. It's very hidden. Hence, hidden manna. Hidden. Hidden. You don't see it. It's in a secret place. You have to find it. You have to look for it. But that eating is in the holiest of all. My brothers and sisters, don't think you just do the morning revival and you're a good brother or good sister. This morning, I like to ask, what stage are you in? Where are you? You've been saved, you went to the training or this or that. I like to ask you, where are you in your eating? It's a legitimate question. And that where you are in your eating reflects how deep your relationship with God is. And it also has something to do with how much you are actually one with him, blended with him, mingle with him, and incorporated with him. Amen. And as a result, this has much to do with how much you are actually in the building of God. Amen. In God's house. Amen. This is not made up. They're saying these types are there. So never be content. Never be satisfied. Lord, I need to advance. Amen. Lord, I need to progress. Amen. Lord, I must improve in my eating, not for my sake, but for your building's sake. We say we're for the Lord's recovery, we're for the church life, and after years, you're still consuming manna in the outer court. Then you don't, your eating does not qualify you to do that much. And we have seen saints like this, believers. After years, they are just like, they just got saved, like a babe. Like a newborn. And they're not of much use as far as being a pillar. Am I right? As far as being useful in God's service, in the building of the church. So you must advance. And the advancement is portrayed in the picture of the tabernacle of going more and more inward. Deeper and deeper and more into the secret place. The more a Christian is young, the more outward he is. The more a Christian become mature or deep, the more inward he becomes. So I'd like to use this weekend to challenge you, to motivate you, to advance in your eating.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go on.
Amen.
Sail on.
Amen.
Come forward.
Amen.
This is the cry in Hebrews.
Amen.
Don't stay where you are. Keep going on and come into a deeper eating of Christ.
Amen.
Now this weekend, actually, I'm not even talking about the hidden manna, to be truthful. No, I'm just talking about the face bread. There's still more to come. But this is, I think, just where we are. Many of you are still eating manna. Sorry to say this. It's not bad. This is not eating leeks and garlic, right? Hopefully. The Egyptian food. I hope not. But you know what? Those who are eating manna still long for that stuff while they're eating manna. Oh, I wish we have leeks, and this thing is boring, you know, day after day, same food, you know, I'm tired of it. You know why? You have not advanced. That's why you're getting bored. In a way, you should be bored. It's time for a better eating.
Amen.
Go on, my brothers. Go on, my sisters. Not just in the church life, you do more, you serve more, and that's an advance. Well, that's good. But I'm concerned about your eating. Your eating of Christ. Is that advancing? Otherwise, your service and your doing is not sustainable. You burn out. Even what you do may not be fully in God's heart. So I think every one of us after this retreat needs to go to the Lord. I'd like you to take next week to just go to the Lord about this. Not about many things. Just stay on point. Just stay on this point of eating. Lord, where am I? My face time. How that should be improved. How I should progress. Amen?
Amen?
I hope this is meaningful to you.
Amen.
Now, to go on this matter of your eating, I think in this your outlines and things, there is a sheet somewhere about your whole being. How come I don't have it? I have to borrow it. Yeah, okay. I want you to turn now to this page I prepared in the last page. Now I'm going to use the rest of the time to help you practically how to develop this FaceTime. Some pointers, if you will. Some helps. All right? Okay, please read the title. Engaging our whole being in the Word of God. Let's read it again. Engaging the key word, engage. A lot of us, when I see you, when you're with the Lord, you're disengaged. You got one eye to the right, one eye to the left, staring in space, doing your morning revival. Goodness, you are disengaged. You are spaced out, okay? You're in a daze. Many of you actually are in your mind, half asleep. Saints, that is not the way to be with the Lord. No wonder your time is not productive. It's not meaningful. Get engaged. Now, the way to be engaged is to engage your entire being. Your whole being has to be there. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, let's take a look. Let's read a wonderful quote from the ministry. Let's read. We must... See, the reference is also again in 2 Peter that I mentioned last night. And of course, the way what we're talking this weekend is about the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord. This is our means. This is where God is. This is where His face is. Right? I hope you're impressed by now that this Word contains the face of God. In fact, it treated, Augustine say, as God's face. So you come to the Word, you come to His face. Face time is Word time. Now, you must put your whole being when you come to God's face, when you come to this Word, whether with reading or praying, whatever, studying, especially when you're praying. But not only so, our whole attitude towards the Word is we must be deeply engaged. Now, I have listed here with the help of some reference verses. Let's take a look. The first thing is the Word and the mouth. You got to get your mouth going. This is very practical. Some of you just sit there and, you know, like, but you got a problem. And the Bible is just kind of sitting there and you don't. No, saints, the mouth is important. To put the mouth first. Amen. Use your mouth. Open your mouth. Be audible. Okay, Deuteronomy 30:14. Please read quickly. You know, the Word is not just on the pages, it's in your mouth. Do you know that? That means the Word as the Spirit, the Lord, is in your mouth like air. So you got to use your mouth. I told you that in my time in the Word with the Lord, praying with the Word, I don't say amen that much. I mainly, you know what I do? I mainly groan. Now, I'm not here to start a groaning movement. Don't worry about that. But it is scriptural to groan. That's Paul. Go to read Romans 8. He said, we don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't know. But the Spirit groans to help us. You know, actually, the deepest kind of prayer is groaning. You don't even have the words. But the Spirit knows the mind of Christ. The intercessor, the heavenly intercessor. The Spirit knows and the Spirit aids us, assists us by groaning that cannot be uttered.
Amen.
So much of my time, I don't mean I'm groaning in deep pain. You know what I mean? Like that's spooky, you know, that kind of groaning. I mean, it's a kind of a sighing from the Spirit. And mingle with the calling on the Lord. Oh, Lord. I do this a lot. I mean, 1,000 times a day, brother. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, as I'm walking, pacing, as I'm there with the word, oh, Lord. Oh, that's groaning. That's groaning. But I use my mouth, and I hear myself. Don't sit there in your head, in your brain, in your mind, half asleep. That's no way to have a date, okay? I think the other party will say, forget about it. You get engaged, am I right? This is your lover here.
Amen.
We're too heartless. We're just heartless when we're with the Lord. We're just doing a thing, religious duty, going through motions. Who likes that? That's that. Okay, Psalm 119, 13, read.
With my lips I have declared all the ordinances of your mouth.
My goodness, declare it. It doesn't say do it, it says declare it. Saints, the word, declare the word. Sometimes in our so-called prayer reading, we're actually declaring it. We're not asking. We're not just repeating. We're just saying, not tagging an amen after it. We're declaring it.
Amen.
One thing.
Amen.
One thing I desire of the Lord.
Amen.
That will I seek after.
Amen.
My, you're just, your mouth. Your mouth is involved with the word.
Amen.
Do you see the difference? Psalm 119, 103, please read. Why would the psalmist say this if he's not using his mouth? How do you taste the sweetness of the word? How do you feel the honey that is in the word without your mouth being open?
Amen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
Saints, use your mouth.
Amen.
Either by groaning, by sighing, by praying, by praising, by singing, by declaring, use your mouth.
Amen.
Now, don't wake up your roommate, you don't need to shout and yell, but you should open your mouth. At least you can hear it. You say, God can hear it. I don't need to open my mouth. God has no problem. Your problem is you. You need to hear it. All right. Revelation 10:10, please read. When you use your physical mouth and physical lips and engage with the word of God, I tell you, start tasting. So don't be silent. Silent time is not good. You're just in your mind. Trust me, you're in your mind. Your mouth, open your mouth with your spirit helps. Okay, the second is the word with the eyes. The eyes, you've got to get your eyes going. Your physical eyes. Of course, your spiritual eyes. Proverbs 4, please read. My, even just to open the Bible to have it in front of your eyes is a big deal. My goodness. Not to mention you need your inner eyes to see the face. While your mouth is going, your eyes is exercised to see his face. By seeing the word.
Amen.
By reading the word.
Amen.
That kind of concentration must be there. Okay, Deuteronomy 6, let's read. And these words
you
know, they dangle this thing, the Jews, right? I'm not saying we do that. That's superstitious. But we do need to exercise our eyes on the word. On the word. Okay? Okay. The word and the ears. Now use your ears. You've got to get your ears going. Okay, Ezekiel 3:10. Read. Moreover. So again, we have an outer ear and we have an inner ear. I don't mean the inner ear here. I mean the inner ear in your spirit, in your heart, actually. You know, the Lord says your heart is as fat, it's stopped. He talks about the heart. Dear brothers, your heart, the ear in your heart, the eyes of your heart. I tell you, you've got not just to exercise your spirit, you've got to get your whole heart in action. Amen. To contact the Lord. There's a big difference here. Many of us draw near with our lips, but we're far from Him in our heart. Amen. So, the ears of your heart. Okay, Luke 11:28, let's read. But He said, hear it. You know, the time when you pray, what you think is me praying, me talking. No. I tell you, the Lord is talking. A lot of my prayer reading, I hear the Lord speak. As I pray, the Lord is speaking to me. Speaking incessantly to me. But my ears has to be alert. Has to be open. You don't get there overnight, but you practice. Okay? Practice using your inner ears. Okay, Romans 10. So faith comes out of hearing, and hearing. You hear the word. There's an inner speaking from the Lord. As if you are genuinely prayer reading, there's a whole lot of speaking from the Lord. Trust me. Really trust me. Use, even as you pray, one thing. Oh, Lord Jesus, one thing. As you're praying, lot of sensation. That's the Lord speaking. The anointing of the Spirit is the speaking of the Lord, the teaching of the Lord. Okay, then the word and the hands. You may not think the hands even get involved. Okay, Psalm 119, please read. I mean, I don't know what David did or the Old Testament saints, you know. Did they do this? Or they do this? I don't know what they did. But they were in such an excited state, a state of joy and felicity, that they lift up their hands to the commandments, which I love. You know, love is in play here. How many of us pray read until our hands are uplifted? I have a couple of times of that, not enough. You get beside yourself with this lovely and living word of God. Deuteronomy 11, please read. These words of mine.
You shall bind them on your hand as a sign. It's
in your hand. In the Old Testament, they bind it on the hand with the word. The word. The word is everywhere. Mouth, eyes, ears, hand. Everywhere the word, the living word of God. What a way to live. What a way to live. Okay, the word and the feet, even the feet. Could you read both verses 119? Establish. Your word is a lamp. That means in our walk, in our daily walk, the word is everywhere. The word is guiding us. The word is illuminating our path. The word establish our footsteps. I tell you, if the word is like this, you won't go into the wrong place. You won't go there. You know what I mean by there. You won't go to those places. Because the word will not lead you there. The word will guide you to the path of righteousness, to the way of life. Dear saints, the word. Our problem is we don't have enough of the word. Okay, next, the word and the spirit. Let's read Ephesians 6. And receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit. Which spirit is the word of God? By means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit. John 6. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profit nothing. The words
that I have spoken to you.
Needless to say, this is central. That's why this is in the middle. The Word is Spirit, and the Spirit is the Word. This Bible, the essence is the Spirit. The words that the Rhema words that the Lord spoke to us, they are Spirit. They are Spirit, and they are life. So the only way for you to access that essence, that Spirit, is we must exercise our spirit. This, by the way, is my another big burden I have. I need a training on the exercise of the spirit.
Amen.
So, saints, use your spirit.
Amen.
Okay? This is the most vital organ that God has created in man. This is the only thing we can do, that organ that we use to contact God, to receive God, and to contain God.
Amen.
Our human spirit.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Okay, the word and the heart. Let's read all the verses. In my heart I have treasured up your word, that I might not sin against you. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to unjust gain. My heart stands in awe of your words. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your word became to me the gladness and joy of my heart. These are those who have a noble and good heart. Hear the word, hold it fast, and bear fruit with it. Your whole heart has to be exercised. Your heart is your person. Your heart is your being. Your heart includes in it your mind, your emotion, your will, plus your conscience. So when your whole heart is exercised, that means your entire inner being is engaged with the Word. All this has to do with the Word.
Amen.
All right? Now we come to the Word and the soul. Let's read these verses. Therefore you shall lay these words of mine on your heart and on your soul. The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. My soul is crushed with longing for your ordinances at all times. Receive in meekness the implanted word, which is able to save. Yesterday I quoted Mueller. Soul nourishment first. You know, in this time you have with the Lord, your soul, your human soul, ought to be deeply nourished. It should be filled with joy and great happiness if you really have touched the Lord. And it is in that joy that you find strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You don't have power, you don't have strength, because you're not happy in the Lord. You don't have the joy of the Lord. And when we eat this bread, when we eat the words that we find, our heart should be filled with gladness. I see too many brothers and sisters moping around in a depressed condition. And that is not right. I mean, there are bad times, there suffering comes, and we all got problems. But the Christians should overcome that and be a joyful one. Isn't one of the first fruits of the Spirit is joy, love, joy. And if you are not filled with joy, you're not filled with the Spirit. In Acts chapter 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They're synonyms. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with joy. I like to see more smiles in the Lord's recovery. Not this kind of, I don't know what. You know, you think people who are spiritual should be serious, you know? Oh, boy, he's really spiritual. No, he's depressed.
Amen.
I don't mean you're flipping, you know, I don't mean that. You know what I mean. Joy springs from within. This is not just even just a kind of superficial happiness that you get after you listen to some stand-up comedy. No. Actually, after that, you get more depressed. It's called a hangover. It just numbs you for a period of time. You know what I mean? And after the numbing, like drugs, when it wears out, you get even more depressed. Brothers, we don't need that. We need the Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the Word.
Amen.
That's the best drug.
Amen. Right.
And there's no hangover.
Amen.
Full of joy.
Amen.
You're saying our soul actually needs restoration.
Amen.
He is the shepherd of our soul.
Right.
He shepherds us by His Word. This living Word has to saturate even our soul and restores it and saves it. It is the implanted Word, save our soul. Okay, let's read the Word and the mind. Let's read all the verses. I will not forget your Word. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. The opening of your words gives light, imparting understanding to the simple. And they read in the book of the law of God, interpreting and giving the sense, so that they understand it will be. Then he opened their mind. You see, contrary to what we may think, we just need the Spirit. No, no. When we touch the Word, you know the Word is explanation. The Word is definition. The Logos Word, even the Rhema Word. That it requires your mind, your renewed mind, to grasp, to decipher, to discern, to interpret. And that's how we understand God. That's how we know God. So don't say, get rid of the mind, just use the Spirit. No, your mind has to be very much engaged. It's actually very vital. Of course, your spirit has to take the lead, not your mind. But the mind must augment. The mind must be there to give you the understanding. I told you, it's only when you understand the Word that you get nourishment. It's not some just, I don't know what it's talking about. Well, in a sense, we're not there just after understanding first. We're after life in the Word first, right? We're after the Spirit first. But the Spirit will give understanding. And that understanding, when it comes into your mind, will give you long-term nourishment. That light. So, dear brothers and sisters, your mind, your renewed mind, not your crazy, vain mind, okay? Or your wild mind. But your renewed mind must be engaged in your prayer reading, in your... Even the Lord opened their mind to understand the Scriptures. You know, the two on the way to Emmaus, you know? And even the night of resurrection, that very night, in John... The emphasis is the Spirit. So that night in the resurrection, he breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. But in Luke, the record is different. There's no Spirit there. Rather, it says the Lord ate the little piece of fish or whatever. Then he proceeded to open their mind to understand the Scriptures, especially how the prophecies were fulfilled in him. Through the law of Moses, through the prophets and through the Psalms. So, brothers and sisters, by the way, let me say a word. You need to read the Old Testament. Don't say, oh, we're just New Testament people. No, you need, the Lord used that to open the minds of the disciples. How all these prophecies are fulfilled in Him. Anyway, your mind. Okay, lastly, the word and the will. Please read.
I have chosen the way of faithfulness. Your ordinances I have set before me, that I may live and help me, for I have chosen your precepts.
One more word on the mind. It says, I will not forget your word. Actually, for you, not for me, for you, your mind is still okay. Mind is kind of like not that good. Memorize the word. You know, actually, we have to help our young people to memorize the word. I don't know whether that's part of the program in the young people's work. I mean memorize. I have put together 100 or 200, I call them platinum verses. And then I have 500 golden verses. And I'm going to prepare 1,000 silver verses. You know the top verses in the Bible? And at least, how about memorize the platinum? You know, some of you, you just, somewhere it says, something about the mirror. Where's the mirror? Is that the Hebrew ladies? They have... What a shame. How do you shepherd people? People will laugh at you even. No, brothers and sisters, you need to commit the word to memory. When we were young, we memorized a book, Philippians. Ephesians, I can't do it now. But these young people can. You know, little kids at age 5, whatever, even younger, they can easily handle 3 languages. No problem. Not a problem. But you? The mind. Once you get even to high school, teenage, your mind is already not that agile. So, but still try your best. Remember the word. But that's why I say maybe by singing at least for us old people, huh? At least by singing we remember the word. Isn't it good to remember the word rather than some crazy stuff?
Amen.
Huh? It washes you. Amen. It cleanses you. It's just good for your health. You know, the word is good for your health.
Amen.
Okay, the will. The will means you choose it. You choose it. I end it here. Brothers and sisters, after this weekend, you know, I'm on a fight. I tell you, I'm on a fight with the devil. Fighting for what? Fighting for your time. And I'm not going to give an inch. The more the enemy wants your time, the more I want it.
Amen.
I want your time.
Amen.
He's already taking away too much of your time already by these things.
Amen.
By the Facebook, you know, by all these things. Instagram. What is Instagram?
Yeah.
You have the time to read it. You have the time to upload your images. You have the time to put it together in a nice way. What? Will you take your Instagram to the New Jerusalem? Seriously. And why are you spending time on that thing? Life before Instagram is quite fine. Civilization didn't go off the cliff because there's no Snapchat, you know. In fact, these things are all... This technology are used by the enemy to distract us and occupy us so that we have no time for eternity. For God. So I fight. It's not that you don't have time. It's how you spend your time. Don't say I don't have time. I'm done with that excuse. I've seen through it. It's not that at all. It's how you spend your time. You don't need to spend your time on these things. You need to more time in the Word.
Amen.
You need more time before His face.
Amen.
And you be not even just a better Christian, you'll be a better person.
Amen.
Choose the word.
Amen.
Set up a different schedule.
Amen.
Starting next week. Really? Just calculate a day how much time you spend on the smartphone. Just calculate. You don't need to tell me. Even if you just take a portion of it, that's a lot of time.
Amen.
Here and there. Even I got addicted to my smartphone. I have to. I mainly just email, you know, text, you know, with the brothers. Yeah, that sounds good. But even that takes time. I don't need to check it that often. You agree with me?
Yes.
I think you will still survive.
Amen.
All right? The priority is all wrong. It's just wrong. The enemy has done a good one on us. Absolutely. I like to see in the Lord's recovery, all of us are different kind of people.
Amen.
We're just not the same as the people in Silicon Valley. We work alongside them. We do the things. We should be good workers. We should be hard workers. We should innovate, those of you who are in that kind of space. No, no. But you're different. You are fundamentally different.
Amen.
You are a God man.
Amen.
You are a face man. And our love is the Lord, and our love is His Word.
Amen.
Let's read the last thing with the subhead. The Word and the ears, the eyes, the heart, and the body, our entire being. Read Proverbs. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to him to find them, and healing to all. Isn't this wonderful? This is in Proverbs. Your ears, your sight, your heart. Why? Because these words are life to those who find them. Brothers, this is life and death matter that we cover this weekend. I hope there is a change.
Amen.
I expect a change in the Bay Area, I mean in Northern Cal, at least starting with you. If there are 500 working saints in Northern California who would see this and have a change,
Amen,
and would progress in this, in their daily life in this way, in their inner life in this way, would have a newfound love and appreciation and taste and appetite for the dear word of the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you, much will happen.
Amen.
Much will happen. And we'll use the next meeting to talk about the Lord's going on in Northern California next year.
Amen.
In the next phase of the Lord's move among us.
Amen.
All right? So now I think there's some announcement.